this episode of Mike Crispy Unafraid, another assassination attempt on President Donald Trump yesterday. This is the second time, and the trends are eerily similar between the first time and the second time. We're going to tell you everything we're learning about Ryan Routh, who he is, who did he work for, and the very strange things we have been able to dig up in this investigation. I am telling you, you will not find this type of reporting in these things anywhere else. It is a big show and we have so much to get to. So I want to welcome everybody into this very special Monday edition of the show today. And I need you to help us get this started by rumbling the video. Again, it's a very important episode. So make sure you share out the stream. Again, information you will not see anywhere else collectively. I guarantee it. So we have a big program for you today. I'm ready. Producer Frankie's ready. You better be too. Let's go. Everybody, Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. It is Monday, it is September 16th, and I'm joined in studio by the one and only. He is the most base producer in the game, and you know, after the first Trump assassination attempts, I said that he should be in charge of the Secret Service because nobody would kill people who were even, you know, in a looming threat presence against President Trump quicker, more swiftly than producer Frankie. Frankie, I know if you were there on the golf course, Routh wouldn't even be able to flee away in his van before getting caught. You would have grabbed him by the choke right there, by the neck right there, choked him and slammed him into the ground for the sake of the country. Frankie, how you doing, my friend?
I would have went straight with the nine iron. Let's go. I'll drop the gun, okay? Coming at him with the clubs, baby. What a joke.
That nine iron up his ass. That's right. What an absolute joke. It's absolutely disgusting. And what's even more disgusting is the way, before we get into who Ryan Routh was and everything we dug up about this guy, and I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. It is damning. And again, I was up all night last night piecing these things together. But before we do that, we have to start with the obvious, the way that the left-wing media reacted to it. It was disgusting. It was abhorrent. And it proved they have no lows, meaning that President Trump could be killed not once, but two times. And they still continually won't be able to look inward and say, maybe we're part of the problem. Maybe our rhetoric about him being a threat to the democracy could be radicalizing people. Maybe the fact that January 6th, the only person who was shot and killed was a Trump supporter. No Republicans, fired any shots at anybody, but yet they call us the domestic extremists and we're the greatest threat. Remember, Don Lemon, the greatest threat to this country are white Trump supporters. It seems like we're two for two right now. We're two for two. We're two people who have tried to kill presidential candidates this election cycle have been avowed left-wing donors. But that doesn't stop the media from looking inward for 1 minute. No, they continue to double and triple down on it. Listen to how they reacted when they heard that President Trump was almost killed again. They said, well, maybe he needs to lower the temperature and the rhetoric again. If they're going to act like this in this situation, they have no low. They cannot be reasoned with. They are gone. Roll, Frankie.
Yeah. Do you expect there to be calls from within the Trump campaign to do that? Because he's going to reach out to his supporters and say, let's take this down. We do not know, again, the source of any gunshot or gunshots. We don't know who's responsible for this. The whole thing has yet to be 100% confirmed from start to finish how this all played out. But do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Toning down the rhetoric and toning down the violence. Why would President Trump need to call for violence and rhetoric to be toned down when it's the supporters of the other party that are obviously inspiring these types of behaviors? Why wouldn't they say, running loops of Kamala Harris B-roll, why wouldn't they say, is it time for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden to tone down the rhetoric? Because clearly their supporters are listening and clearly their supporters are acting up. Why would they say Donald Trump? Clearly this guy didn't listen to Donald Trump. This guy hated Donald Trump. And it's very well documented. But again, this isn't a isolated incident, okay, of the media ratcheting up the situation, the bureaucrats covering for the situation, making excuses, and then nothing changing. No, it is a trend at this point. These are what left-wingers have done time and time again, and it's been happening for years now. And again, in order for us to get to the bottom of this, you're not just going to beat these people, okay, and say, oh, you know, come together and reason with them. No, these people are radical savages carrying out a propagandic mission in a different flavor than what Ryan Routh was doing. Yes, Ryan Routh was the hired gunman, but these people are the hired propagandists. Oh, Mike, you're being a little extreme. Listen to the way that Joy Reid talks about. Remember when Steve Scalise was shot? Again, every single shooting, it seems, that involves political people seems to be perpetrated by Democrats, radical Democrats. Remember, it was the Bernie bro who shot up the congressional baseball game. It was Thomas Crooks. They lied and said he was a right winger, but then the CEO of Gab exposed his account and he was outed as a left winger. His donation history was to Democrats. But again, none of this overwhelming evidence leads these propagandists to say maybe we're in the wrong here. Maybe the Democrats are in the wrong. No, they can't do that because, again, they're on the same payroll. Essentially, I hate to say it, same payroll at the end of the day than the people who are carrying out these attacks. Listen to when Joy Reid reacted to the congressional baseball game. Roll, Frankie.
Obviously, everybody is wishing the congressman well and hoping that he recovers.
Sure.
But Steve Scalise has a history that we've all been forced to sort of ignore on race. He did come to leadership after some controversy over attending a white nationalist event.
So you see there the way that they say in the same breath of him being shot and almost killed. And again, Steve Scalise still dealing with the side effects from that gunshot wound, that he has a lot of checkered past and a controversy. And the fact that they've talked about him being a racist just might have inspired this. And well, we need to talk about that in the same breath. It's disgusting. But I said that these people all work for the same entity, okay? And it's well documented that the mainstream media is controlled by, in many cases, factions of the deep state and the intel community. It's well documented. And it's well documented that Bloomberg News obviously has gone super left. I mean, the propaganda is like crazy. Frankie, ever you see Bloomberg on social, it's like super left, okay? And then you look at these shooters and you look at their very strange lifestyles that they led. And we're going to get into who Ryan Routh was. We've exposed who Thomas Crooks was. But the first thing I noticed about Ryan Routh, again, this is something that, you know, you really won't see in many places, that Ryan Routh on his social media, on his X account, which again, really weird. We're going to show you some snippets from the X account. But the X account had a lot of this, like, almost like a repetitive copy and paste style propaganda on it. Anti-Trump, anti-Tulsi, anti-Putin, pro-Ukraine, pro-Taiwan, anti-North Korea. And something else I noticed about his profile was that the first person, okay, now again, this guy has a very long history, a rap sheet, okay, founds a weapons of mass destruction back in the early 2000s. I mean, all of his arrests are extremely radical and bizarre, and then he never really spent a lot of hard time in jail, only probation. I mean, he literally has the backstory and a profile of a Fed. He had a business, okay, and his social media accounts called like Camp Box or something like that, and it was basically like, you know, this thing. It was a Facebook page for the business that he said he owned, which like built one house, okay, like a little box like in Hawaii or whatever, and it was one thing that they did one time and that was it. Like, go look up his business that he allegedly ran. How did this guy make money? How did this guy have a living? How is he able to fly to Ukraine? How is he able to do anything that he said? How is he able to move to Hawaii? He had that one business, okay? It was on his LinkedIn page, it was on his Facebook page, and it was one business that I guess built a house somewhere at some time, like a little, like, you know, trailer park like house. And like for humanitarian purposes, one thing, one post, that's it for the whole business. Clearly very creepy. Clearly a front, a cover up. Now, the weirdest thing about all of this was that this guy, okay, the first person that he followed on X, on his X account, was a woman by the name of Sue Kim. Okay, so his first post on X, the first person who followed him on X and his first follower on X was this woman you're about to see. Her name is Sue Kim, and her profile includes being ex-CIA, working in the defense contractor space, and being a Bloomberg analyst. Every asset of the federal government system needs a handler. Listen to this woman. You tell me, was this Ryan Routh's Fed handler? I mean, it kind of sounds like a roller, Frankie.
When it comes to North Korea, how big will foreign policy shift if we go from this progressive administration to a conservative one?
Mm-hmm. So I think the expectation is that with a conservative administration, we're going to see a recalibration towards a harder line position on North Korea. I do think that's going to be possible, but I also think that in light of all of these other geopolitical issues and the events that are taking place, it's going to take time for a conservative administration to really bring back inter-Korean relations and, of course, our dealings with North Korea on the nuclear issue back to where it was, let's say, circa, you know, pre-Trump administration, pre-Moon administration.
How has the Ukraine...
Okay, so you see there the woman, obviously, I mean, listen to that woman, Frankie. I mean, is that a Fed if you've ever seen one?
That's,
I mean, is that like a slick-talking, smooth-operating Fed, works in the defense space, works for the CIA, works as a Bloomberg commentator on geopolitical issues, clearly pushing a very specific narrative, and then she throws in there. Again, she's trying to be like a buttoned-up, like, you know, smart intellectual analyst. She buttons up, oh, in the pre-Trump. We need to get it back to the pre-Trump era. So why would Ryan Routes' first follow on social media come from that woman? Why would the first person he follows and the first person who follows him be that woman? Is anybody going to talk about that on the mainstream media today? It's bone-chilling, actually. That was the handler. You take that, you combine it with his record, you combine it with the guy's history, you combine it with how he had no real job and flew around the world and did all these things, you combine it with his criminal history saying that he stayed out of jail, and then that's the cherry on top. And then you look at his social media, again, all these posts talking kind of into the abyss. He had like no followers on anything, very few followers, but he just keeps posting in like rapid succession and flying all around the place. Bizarre. But Soo Kim is his first follower and following. Tell us everything you need to know. Now, who is this guy, okay? Who is this guy? They said, also debunking propaganda, that this guy said, and he posted on social media, he said, I voted for you in 2016, meaning voted for President Trump. Let me tell you something, that's a lie, because we have uncovered the voting record of what this guy has done. Again, voting records are public information. It doesn't tell you who you vote for, but it tells you if you voted, okay? And it is shown that in this guy's voting record, he voted in 2008, he voted in 2009, he voted in 2012, and he voted in 2024 primary. That's it. And by the way, he voted in the Democrat primary in person in 2024. But he did not vote in 2016 for President Trump. That was a lie. And let me tell you something else. When they try to cancel me on X, a lot of people post this BS because they're trying to rally false sentiment. This is how I know it. They try to rally false sentiment to get Trump support to peel off. When they've come under fire, when I've come under fire, particularly with the Tim Walz thing, okay, you get bots who post, I've been a Trump supporter, but I no longer support Mike Crispy. And you like see this like very weird copy and paste succession of posts like that. And I go, these aren't Trump supporters talking like this. These aren't Trump supporters. This is copy and paste. This is a bot mission, okay? It is designed as a manipulation campaign, try to get people to read and go, well, I'm a real Trump supporter and I'm reading this. Oh, maybe I shouldn't be a supporter of Mike Crispy. Oh, because this account is saying it. Just like Ryan Routh posted again, same thing, hook, line, and sinker. Well, I was a Trump supporter in 2016. I was a Trump supporter in 2016. No longer. He's now a threat to the democracy. Beep, beep, robot posts. Clearly coached to say it. Clearly you can connect the dots here. But then the voting records are right here. The guy did not vote for President Trump in 2016 because the guy didn't vote in 2016. So it clearly shows his social media was being handled and guided. Very bizarre. Then the son was asked about what was going on. Okay, this guy's son. And by the way, when you have the half blue hair, half gold hair for Ukraine, you know, little rule of thumb, only left wingers color their hair, you know, things on the rainbow. Okay, you know, that's a little fact. So this is the shooter's son, though. You can put this headline up, Frank. Shooter's son said this, okay, about his father. Son of alleged would-be assassin says his dad hates Trump like, quote-unquote, all reasonable people, but he's never owned a gun and wouldn't do anything batshit crazy. He said his father might have had a couple of incidences of parking tickets and small infractions, but his dad is not a violent man, and his dad never would own a gun. And his dad, like any reasonable person, hated President Trump. Again, reasonable people don't take shots at a presidential candidate. You don't see avowed right-wingers taking shots at any Democrat candidate, God forbid, and they don't, because we're just not those kinds of people. But the Democrat radicals, again, acting on a higher force, keep doing it. They did it right before the election. sorry, the nomination of President Trump at the RNC convention, and then they just did it again as we're on the precipice of Ukraine-Russia war being broken out. It's no coincidence that this guy, and you're going to find out in the next segment who he was, and I'm teasing it here, it's no coincidence that this guy, okay, took the shot as we're on the verge of us giving Ukraine the go-ahead to launch offensive strikes deep into Russia, which will obviously inflame the war, and President Trump, right after the debate, committing and digging his heels in, that he's not going to fall prey to the military-industrial complex and, okay, let the war actually ravage. He's going to make a peace deal. So coincidence that this guy, okay, the man who, again, is doing very much a lot of work to keep the war machine going, that he took the shot. And by the way, Frankie, he said, my dad isn't that crazy. He might have had a couple parking tickets and he didn't own a gun. Let's take a look at this guy's criminal history, okay? This guy... It really is hilarious. I got to zoom in here on this. This guy, dating back to 2002, was charged with resisting an officer, driver's license revoked, carrying a concealed weapon when he didn't have the authority to do so, a hit and run, carrying a concealed weapon again, motor vehicle violation, carrying a concealed weapon again, okay, driving with a revoked driver's license again. Oh, and don't forget, possession of weapons of mass destruction.
What?
Yeah. So this guy had 1, 2, 3 cases of carrying a weapon when he wasn't allowed to carry a weapon. And then he also had multiple motor vehicle violations. But don't forget about the cherry on top highlighted in green on the screen here at the bottom. I know it's a very long rap sheet, but that's the rap sheet. You can see it if you zoom in. In 2002, April 23rd, possessions of weapons of mass destruction.
I need clarification on that.
He didn't go to jail. What does that even mean? He didn't go to Guantanamo. Matter of fact, digging into what happened to him, this guy got probation. Clearly didn't have the money to hire a lawyer. Where would he get money? Didn't have a lot of money. How did he even move to Hawaii? Guy was clearly mental, clearly on the verge. He got co-opted by Soo Kim, obviously, as his handler. He becomes a radicalized activist, okay, asset for the feds, for the military-industrial complex. They move him out to Hawaii. They give him a fake business, okay? They say, you're not going to go to jail, but you're going to do what we say. And they clearly got this guy to become this Ukrainian mercenary figure. More on that in the next segment. But this thing reeks to high heaven. It reeks to high heaven. And thank God that the case was foiled. I'll say this, as you know, because we're going to talk about who this guy is and everything. But I just got to say, and I'll spend a minute on this, Frankie, is that, do you know how this guy was caught? Do you know what happened at the golf course the day when this guy was caught?
Yeah.
The Secret Service go a hole ahead. So Trump is golfing, and the Secret Service goes one hole ahead to assess, you know, the perimeter of what's going on. So the Secret Service jump one hole ahead, and Trump's on the fifth hole. The Secret Service agent goes to the sixth hole. And thank God the Secret Service agent was perspicacious in a fashion where he saw the muzzle of the AK sticking out through the bushes. And then he exchanged gunfire with Ralph. Ralph then dropped it, fled the scene. You know, he had like this self-protective thing. He had like these ceramic tiles, okay, that he was able to set up hanging on the chain link, okay, which is designed to, you know, absorb the blow from return fire. He had like the two ceramic tile things hanging up with his AK sticking through, okay, and it was all set up there. How was he allowed to set it up? How was he allowed to stage there? Why was he there for as long of time that he was without somebody stopping him and seeing him? I've been around that area of Palm Beach, Florida. There's police everywhere because of President Trump. And then also the most bone-chilling thing about this whole matter was that President Trump playing golf at the course at that time was not on his public schedule. So how did he know to set up there? And people say, well, right place, right time. He always plays golf. But hold on a minute. He can play golf at any time of the day. He can go out at 7 a.m. He can go out at 2 p.m. Nobody knows. He could just not play that day. So that guy was staged there for what it had to have been a buffer zone of hours and hours and hours, okay, if he didn't know what time he was playing golf. And how could he just sit there with his AK for hours and hours and hours without getting noticed? One, very bizarre. And two, How did he know to set up, again, if he did have advance notice and he knew what time to set up, who tipped him off from the inside? Clearly somebody tipped this guy off from the inside that Trump would be playing golf at this time and that he'd be on the fifth, sixth hole at this time and then he was in position at that time. So clearly there's somebody on the inside who is, okay, in the Secret Service Homeland Security apparatus who is feeding this information back to this guy who tried to take President Trump's life. That is scary. And again, we have been lucky twice. How many more times does this need to happen? I don't know if they'll get a third attempt here. But it is insanity. By the grace of God, Trump surviving. But look at the forces that we are up against. And we're going to talk more about this because this story, we have only just begun exposing the tip of the iceberg on who this guy was. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with so much more. Do not go anywhere.
Dishing.
Oh, we're dishing today, Frankie. I knew it'd be a good show. I mean, I was literally just reading all about this, all night long because of just how bizarre it is. And, again, we have so much to expose in this guy, and we're dishing, but we want to thank our sponsors who make this possible. Again, the legacy media will never talk about these things because they're not allowed. They got to clear through their advertisers what they're allowed to talk about. We're allowed to talk about anything we want, and it's thanks to our great sponsors. Our first sponsor of the show, Armor Colostrum, tryarmor.com/LFATV. That is tryarmor.com/LFATV. Here is a message from them. Frankie, roll it.
The biggest benefit, honestly, has been with my skin. My skin was more hydrated, more radiant.
This is the best superfood that you could take.
It has all the essential nutrients you need for your skin, your gut, energy, focus, mood, performance.
My hair has gotten so much thicker ever since taking this.
I used to have a probiotic, a green juice that replaced it all with this Armor Colostrum. It is amazing.
You gotta take it.
If you wanna try it, try armor.com.
I can go to tryarmor.com right there. We appreciate you doing that. Tryarmor.com/LFATV for a 15% discount. You'll feel amazing. Go get these natural supplements. Additionally, guys, our next sponsor of the show who's making so much of this possible, our friends on over at My Vital C. Guys, if you're over the age of 35 and like a typical American, you start to feel tired around noon and your ability to focus just keeps getting worse as you get older. For energy, you've probably tried coffee, you probably tried tea, or even worse, one of those sugary drinks that promise energy for hours, but they just don't work and your focus never improves. I don't want to even talk about the crash that happens after it wears off. I can pretty much guarantee that what I'm about to share with you, you have never even heard of. The supplement is based on a molecule Big Pharma doesn't want you to know about. That's because Big Pharma knows how effective it is and that they cannot make money off of it. Okay, in my case, this is the strongest, easiest focus and energy supplement that I've ever tried. And unlike caffeine, tea, or any other addictive supplement, I don't crash afterward. And surprisingly, I sleep better at night. And I even take it in the morning. And to add, okay, that's a history. It also extends the lives of the subjects who take it. Guys, this is amazing. You need it right now. And it's called My Vital C. It's an energy supplement unlike anything you've ever tried. It has just two ingredients, olive oil. Okay, you know how important olive oil is as a natural, healthy thing, okay, for your body, okay? Italians, we invented the olive oil and we live long and we look the best of anybody in the world. And that is not a coincidence, olive oil, guys. And do not forget about a powerful nano antioxidant, 125 times more potent than vitamin C. It's called ESS60. Guys, it's backed by a powerful 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to myvitalc.com right now, /LFA, and on the page, you will find a coupon code good for an additional 15% off your order. That is myvitalc.com/LFA, 15% off your order. All right, Frankie, how we doing?
We're doing, Mike. I got so much. I got my own takes. I'm just like thinking about all this. It's just insane. It's insane. Let's get back at it.
I need to talk about this. There's just so much to talk about. I mean, we got to get right back into it because there's just so much here. And I want to bring Frankie in on this, of course, because I actually had so much to say in that first segment. But like, there's just so much more to unpack. Got to get Frankie back into it. Guys, rumble this video. Share the stream out. Follow us on rumble.com/crispy right now. We are going to be doing another coin giveaway very shortly. So guys, rumble.com/crispy. We're re-airing the show all night long and our locals content will be coming, I believe, next week. We're going to start doing that. We've been talking to Rumble and getting it all kind of in order. So guys, rumble.com/crispy. We need you to subscribe right now. We need every single person. Please, if you support what we're doing and what we're exposing, we don't ask for anything other than supporting our sponsors and supporting rumble.com/crispy. Okay, let's go, Frankie.
All right, we're rolling on in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. We continue to expose Ryan Routh, who he was, what happened, how did this happen, and of course, most importantly, who was he working on behalf? The official narrative of the left-wingers that this was another black sheep lone gunman is a laughable fallacy. Just like Thomas Crooks wasn't a lone gunman, this guy was not a lone gunman as well. They always feed you that line, an outcast, a mentally disturbed individual. This is what we call Lee Harvey Oswald-esque. This guy's story was even more, relatable to Lee Harvey Oswald, but also it had a lot of very strange similarities to Thomas Crooks. I believe that you have these guys, Crooks, and this guy, Routh, both working for the same entity. Now, Crooks was like, you know, not tactical, military-esque guy. This guy clearly was. He fancied himself as a Ukraine freedom fighter. More on that in a second. But here's my question. Why was Thomas Matthew Crooks and Ryan Routh both in professionally produced commercials, okay, that kind of roll up to the same entity, military-industrial complex entity? Now, Thomas Matthew Crooks was in a BlackRock commercial. That's now world famous. But Ryan Routh was in an Azov Battalion Ukraine war propaganda commercial, okay? Azov Battalion has been directly funded by Anthony Blinken and the State Department as a fighting force, okay, on behalf of the Ukrainian government. Again, if you guys understand, it's not like buttoned up. You don't have the American military versus the, UK military. It's not like a developed country. You have like these mercenary fighting forces who claim allegiance to the country and then they go fight. That's like the Wagner Group. Okay, that's like the Azov Battalion. The thing about the Azov Battalion is they're no Nazis, okay? They're literally the real white supremacist Nazis, and they have been funded by Blinken and the State Department. And coincidentally, Ryan Routh, right place, right time, or again, this guy, an asset, just like Thomas Crooks, perfectly placed, okay, in multiple job functions, placed as a extra actor in their propaganda TV commercials. Ryan Routh, you'll see a familiar face here in this commercial. Roll, Frankie.
Most of the action is to appeal to what leaders, what organization.
Oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. His face there appears, and you have him in the American, American flag thing around his neck. Again, he was designated to be, the very American-looking Ukraine freedom-fighting guy. You see it right there on the screen. He always has the American flag bandana wrapped around his neck like the caricature that he is, okay? Very bizarre. And by the way, quick side note, for all the Republicans that always, were like, oh, Ukraine. All of those Republicans would have called the guy like Ryan Routh a hero up until yesterday. So that just goes to show you, how stupid are they? Again, some of them are in it, but a lot of them are that stupid. They're just unwitting sheep. They would have been like, oh, Ryan Routh's a hero. He's putting his life on the line to go to Ukraine and fight, okay, on behalf of Americans. So it's like, do not trust any politician who has ever simped for Ukraine in any way, shape, or form. Because it was people like me and it was people like Tucker Carlson, okay, and Frankie, who were on the forefront saying that Ukraine was a scam. And guys like Ryan Routh were operating from the very start under the guise of that scam for the deep state. Again, they were either in on it with the deep state, I'm talking local, state, federal politicians, or they're just stupid, unwitting sheep. You should trust them in neither capacity. Yes, Frankie, how you doing?
It was interesting, Mike, because when the news broke yesterday, I was flipping between Fox and CNN, just seeing their takes, what was going on. And CNN, once it kind of broke that, oh, this guy, has got some affiliations with the Ukraine, they were almost saying, the way that CNN was pushing it was almost like, this has to do with Trump's rhetoric towards Ukraine and this. Like, they were almost trying to parse it like, Trump is against this war, even though all he said he wants peace and people to stop dying. But they're just like, maybe it's the rhetoric that he's been pushing recently. And like, they were basically skipping the fact that, okay, Ukraine could have killed our president. They're almost just like, oh, Ukraine's great. We're going to keep sending them all our money. But, maybe because of Trump doing these bad things, maybe they reacted. Like, they were almost like, fine. It was like very interesting to watch. I was like, what? They're parsing this together and not just saying, like, oh, we don't want to put any baseless claims out there like Ukraine is attacking our president. But it was like they were just kind of glossing over and saying, it might be Trump's fault that he's talking like this. It was wild to watch, Mike. Wild.
Well, and you know what's funny is that the thing about Ukraine is that people fail to realize, even the Republicans who simp for Ukraine, is that Ukraine is not an independent entity. Ukraine is a satellite of the U.S. intel agencies. They've never been their own sovereign government and fighting force for a very long time. I mean, they've always been a country riddled with corruption and instability. And again, you saw in 2014, we came in and toppled over the duly elected government. Again, they were trying to get it on track, and we insold our people. And Ukraine basically is a proxy to Russia to fight Russia and say it's not America, but to say it's Ukraine against Russia, when in reality, it's America versus Russia. It's the Cold War on steroids. And they want to take it over the top and make it an all-out war. So the question is, again, it's not Ryan Ralph like doing it for Ukraine to the fake news. It would literally be the United States intel agencies doing it under the guise of Ukraine. And then I guess like we would go and fight a war against Russia because of it. I mean, none of it makes any sense. As Frankie's pointing out, very strange and bizarre. But again, who was Ryan Ralph? Who did he work for? Okay. And who was he promoting on his social medias? To nobody. Very bizarre. What kind of profile were they making of this guy? This is some of his stuff that you see here. This was him, okay? American citizen Ryan Ralph hung the national flag. This was expanded upon and blasted all over Taiwanese media. Again, so think about it. Radio International Taiwan sounds like a U.S. government controlled front. Okay, you know, we put our propaganda out there in all these foreign countries. This guy clearly was an actor in the foreign propaganda game, obviously. He did the foreign propaganda against North Korea. He did the foreign propaganda involving Taiwan. He did the foreign propaganda against Russia. He did the foreign propaganda for Ukraine. And he did the foreign propaganda against Trump. And he said he was trying to recruit Afghans to go in and fight, okay, in the war for Ukraine. Very bizarre. He said he was smuggling in Afghans and going to Pakistan and getting fake passports. And he was just posting about this all over the internet. Very bizarre. But this is what Radio International Taiwan posted. Again, how would they find out about this guy if he wasn't being fed as an individual to post by a higher power? American citizen Ryan Ralph hung the national flag of the Ukrainian International Legion members on a stone wall in Kiev's Independence Square to show his respect, including the flag of the Republic of China. He said there have been no protests so far. Even in China, even if China is dissatisfied, I can order another 1,000 flags and they can't touch my flag. Picture taken. So you have Ryan Ralph here, okay, who was involved in Taiwanese propaganda as well, hostile to the Chinese, hanging flags in Taiwan demonstrations. How did he get to that? How did they find him to interview him? I mean, a flag like this, thousands of flags, cost thousands of dollars. How did the guy make money? How did the guy travel all around the world? And when you land at an airport, you just can't go get to a restricted war zone. How did he pop up in these war zones? Very bizarre. So clearly this guy, again, Taiwan, China, North Korea, Soo Kim, who we showed in the last segment. This guy was an asset for international purposes. This was also his X feed, his Twitter feed, that was, again, and they wiped it, by the way. And it's funny to me how the government demands the wiping of these people accounts when this happened. Why don't they leave it up? Why don't they leave up the accounts for us to all see? What don't they want us to see? But good people on the internet got it before it was wiped clean. This is what he did. He would literally tweet like a robot at Zelensky. I am here in Kiev. I want to use the Independence Park to create a tent city of all the foreigners here to support and get thousands of more foreign civilians to support Ukraine. He just keeps tweeting at Zelensky. Okay, I am willing to fly to Krakow and go to the border of Ukraine to volunteer and fight and die. I'll be able to cross the border and fight without a visa? Question mark. It's like, who is this guy? What is he whipping up?
You know, Mike, more importantly, how hard is it to get on a list in this country? Apparently, you could only be a Trump supporter because what the movements of this man, it's like you're not on any lists. You're a freak. You're jumping. You're trying to get into place without visas to get into wars. I mean, what are you talking about? If you book a flight too late, they're like, oh, we got to check on this guy. Like, what?
He keeps I mean, this guy clearly, again, every single thing that he posts, again, just like how I said that the fake bot accounts would post like, oh, I used to be a Trump supporter and now I'm not, like that old phenomenon. This guy was clearly coached for this repetitive rhetoric to rally people to want to go fight in Ukraine. Clearly, I am willing to fight and die. He said, like your interview, I'm willing to come to Ukraine and fight. Respond that I will come. He said to Zelensky again, I am an American coming to fight with you in Ukraine. I'm flying to Krakow. We'll take your transport to Kiev and meet you and fight to the death. We must get every civilian in the world to come and join the fight. I will be an example. Attack Moscow now. Guy was a robot. Very weird pattern of social media. Very bizarre. But he wasn't just some random bizarre individual. This guy was also a poster boy for these things in international media. Again, a whack job like this with no followers on social media, who is clearly a little bit off, who lived in Hawaii without a job, apparently. How did he get so much press? How did he have this robot social media profile with no real followership? Because again, most people, they find you from your social media, like the press. This guy had none of that, but he was in all these interviews. How did he keep getting interviewed to spread his propaganda? How did he get to Kiev for 8 months? He was there for 8 months. Who paid for that? How did he get there? How did he allegedly get in touch with the people that he claimed he got in touch with? And by the way, now the Ukraine simps online are like, well, he never did that. He was just a bad actor. He was doing more harm than good to the war effort. We don't know why he was doing it. But here's my question. How did he get a letter from the Ukrainian government that he posted on his social media saying, I'm working on obtaining you guys official visas from the Ukrainian government? How did he get that letter? And then also, how did he get press? And also, how did he get this press? And if the press is real, like they said they are, the press couldn't vet him for 2 seconds and see that he had no connections, real connections to anybody. Clearly, the press is either totally fake and they'll put anybody on TV, or he was vetted and he was truly legitimized as a person leading this Ukrainian legion of foreign fighters. So either the press, that again is all claimed to be the real sources against Trump, either they're all a joke for letting anybody on TV, or the guy was legitimately who he says he was, and the Ukraine simps are covering up because they're embarrassed because their Fed op is getting dismantled systematically right now. This was Ryan Routh doing interviews. Roll, Frankie.
Ukraine is reluctant to be cooperative.
That's Ryan Routh, a U.S. citizen who set up the International Volunteer Center in Ukraine to help connect foreigners to Ukrainian military units.
Now I'm talking to over 100 soldiers every day, and pretty much everybody, all of my contacts in Ukraine, they were adamant and pretty much yelled at me every time that I suggested that we bring in Afghans.
The Ukrainian government didn't respond to our request for comment. But a source close to the officials in Kyiv told Semafor that their top concern is the question of loyalty in the thick fog of war.
The biggest thing is spies. They're afraid that anybody and everybody is a Russian spy.
Those concerns aren't completely unfounded. Russia's notorious private military group, Wagner, has reportedly begun recruiting Afghan commandos. Semafor reviewed these text messages from Afghan soldiers, which tell the same story.
Bizarre. And this guy was texting all these people. This guy was giving out people's contact information. Okay, then people would hit them up and say, oh, I heard you're interested in fighting. They're like, where do you get my number from? Oh, Ryan Routh. Very bizarre. Clearly leading an op. So, you know, it's funny. The press is always like fact check and this and that. He says he's talking to hundreds of soldiers a day. How? And then Newsweek, again, one of the main anti-Trump propagandic outlets, almost as hysterical and laughable as Bloomberg, sat down and interviewed this guy in Ukraine. Roll this.
Tell me who you are and why are you here?
56, from the U.S., from North Carolina originally, so I live in Hawaii now, so flew all the way from Hawaii here. So the question as far as why I'm here, to me, you know, a lot of the other conflicts are gray, but this conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. This is a storybook, you know, any movie we've ever watched. This is definitely evil against good. I mean, we're battling a situation here where the Ukrainians and the rest of the world are caring and kind and generous and unselfish and take care of one another. And it's just a matter of, we need to stand up for that. That is the most important thing in the world, is just to show.
You can stop there. It's so obvious that this guy is an op, because he has the American flag propaganda everywhere he goes. In his profile on X, he had the little American flag in his profile name. He's always wearing American flag bandana, T-shirt, whatever. He always is like this poster boy of like Americans fighting in Ukraine. He's a caricature for it. And he's also a caricature of like this recruitment effort of trying to get Afghans and people from Pakistan, basically getting everybody drawn into this war. So when it becomes a world war, you have all of these people in all these different countries fighting. And he had posted his phone number on his X account several times. Somebody called that number in the immediate aftermath of this and listened to his voicemail. Roll it.
This is Ryan in Hawaii with Camp Box Buildings and also the National Volunteer Center, sending soldiers to Ukraine as well as Taiwan. If you'd like to volunteer, please send me a message by WhatsApp, Viber, Telegram, Signal, Facebook, any of the messaging services, and I will respond. I do not.
So this guy's job was done with Ukraine. Again, we're on the precipice of World War III. We've said we can launch offensive strikes into Russia, which means that the U.S. military will become involved. No more proxy battle. So this mentally ill whack job was done with his assignment in that, kind of winding down. So they basically, I think, say, take a shot at Trump. Okay, you've done that. You're a crazy man. Okay, you're going to take a shot at Trump. You've done all these things. We've got to a point. No more Cold War. We're making it very obvious that we're going full war against Russia. Putin is saying he's going to respond, all these things. So you know what? Your work there is done. We're taking you off the Kiev recruitment mercenary front. We're going to stick you there in Palm Beach, and we're going to have you take the shot. Because they own this guy. This is scary stuff. Very scary stuff. I think we know what's going on here. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with so much more. Do not go anywhere.
Wow. Boom.
Unbelievable. What a show today. What a show. Today might be one of the most important ones we've ever done. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank you guys for watching. I want to thank our amazing sponsors, again, who continue to put this on the air for us and make this all possible. And our next sponsor of the show are our friends over at OFP Farms. Guys, OFP Farms. Oh, man, it's so nice. It's so nice. It smells amazing. They got the new fall promo, okay? This is called Sweater Weather, okay? It's September. We got new discounts, 25% off for a limited time, 25% off your entire order. It is the 10-year anniversary officially of OFP Farms,
let's
okay?
Go.
They have a refresh lineup with all of their fall products. Okay, enjoy the scent of apple bourbon, pumpkin spice, and everything nice. And of course, the Sweater Weather fragrances. And now, for fans of the box sets, you see we show the box sets with like the Trump stuff and the goat logo stuff, okay, all different stuff. For fans of the box sets, you can now create your own custom box sets with your favorite scents. Feel free to choose from our popular We the People collection. That's the stuff with the Trump, it's amazing. The Sweater Weather, and design your box just the way you like it. And here's the deal, guys. You guys know the fundamental ingredients in all of these amazing products are goat milk, okay? Why goat milk? Goat milk is rich in essential vitamins and it nourishes and rejuvenates your skin, aiding in the regeneration of dead skin cells damaged by daily wear, harsh chemicals, and environmental factors. These products are made with high-quality ingredients in small batches to ensure excellence. They craft, produce, and ship directly from their farm. As a family owned and operated goat farm, they are proud to be a patriotic America First and God-fearing company. Choose to support small family farms and instead of the woke big brands, okay, that literally want to sell you poisonous chemicals, cheap chemicals, forget about that. Go get OFP Farms. You'll feel amazing. I keep running through the bars of OFP soap because I love it and it feels amazing and it smells amazing. So guys, 10 years, 25% off. The promo runs until the end of this week. So go get it right now. Again, the promo only runs till the end of this week. We're so excited to continually partner with them. And now we're from our next sponsor that we love, our friends over at Genesis Gold Group. Guys, head over to goldwithcrispy.com and get your free gold IRA and investment guide. Here's the deal, everybody. You guys know the paper dollar is a fugazi, and the more time you spend with your 401k and your investment accounts being really just backed by the dollar, you have it in the markets, you have whatever, you literally just have paper dollar on a screen. The more you have that, the more at risk you are. That's because the paper dollar is inflating at a rapid pace. And in 10, 20, 30 years, when you retire, well, the value of the dollar will be worth that much less. People always ask me, how do you hedge against this? How do you protect yourself? And the answer is very simple. There's only one answer, and it's called gold and silver. And the place to get gold and silver is from our friends with Genesis Gold Group. Guys, the value of the gold and silver has just shot up exponentially. So if you bought it 10 years ago, right now you'd be beating inflation, okay? Because the gold and silver would be worth that much more. So the cost of what you bought it for, okay, those dollars would just be sitting there in your account. Okay, you get a rate of return. Oh, I made 8, 10% on my 401k. Okay, but if you had gold, it's worth like 8x, something like that, something crazy. So guys, gold. Gold and silver, goldcrispy.com. Go there right now. Get your free gold IRA and investment guide. Or if you just want small batches, guys, crispybar.com. Crispybar.com. You could buy them in credit card style bars right here. People call them the prepper bar. I call them the crispy bar. It looks like little chocolate bars. You can go get it right here, crispybar.com. Do not forget crispybar.com, gold, silver. They sell out quick, so go get it if you just want to buy some. And just own it. There you go. It's worth it. Okay. Frankie, let's roll right back into it. We are on fire today.
Yes, we are, Mike. We're on in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, and welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York in a very, very important episode. Now, I will say something again that I think that the left-wing media needs to hold Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party accountable for. Let me put you in this scenario, and I am no way advocating for it in any way, shape, or form. But if two Republican donors took shots at Democrat presidential candidates, could you imagine the meltdown from the press? Could you imagine the way they would be hysterically melting down? Could you imagine it? It would be unlike anything you've ever seen. This guy, Ryan Ralph, was a donor to Act Blue, okay? Not once, not twice, not three times, but I'm talking dozens of times. Just like Thomas Matthew Crooks. These guys are Democrat donors. He wasn't a Trump supporter in 2016. He voted in Democrat election primary 2024. He voted in 2012 and before. He's a Democrat Trump hater. And again, they blocked out the first Trump assassination. They totally erased that from your memory. They're going to do the same with the second assassination attempt. And they are not going to do what they have done. Again, January 6th, what happened? January 6th, people marched in. People went through velvet ropes. People were a little rowdy because they were whipped up. We never found out who did the pipe bomber. Oh, that's because it probably wasn't a right winger. And we are never going to get to the bottom of these stories. But I will tell you, even though we're never going to get to the bottom of like who Ryan Ralph was and who was, you know, who was paying him and who he worked for, we're never going to fully get back to it. But the media right now could and should, but won't, condemn Kamala and Biden. They need to lower the temperature. There needs to be less of this rhetoric. They're trying to get a major candidate killed. That's what they'd be saying if the shoe was on the other foot. I don't hesitate for a minute to believe they'd be saying that, nauseating, panting, hysterical, on fake news, CNN, all week long, up until the day of the election. If this guy wins, there'll be copycats of it. There's going to be so many more people. Everything he says now, he needs to be careful. But they don't say that about Kamala or Biden. Even as they try to kill this guy. And at this point, you're either on one of two sides. You're either on the country and the republic being maintained, or you're on the side of these killers. There's no in-between. There could be an in-between if the Democrat leaders and the fake news media called it out and condemned it, but they don't. They say it's bad. They say they don't support it, but they never talk about it the way they talk about January 6th. And by the way, no police officers were killed on January 6th. It's a lie. Several people died after the fact in very suspicious, weird fashion. We don't know anything about it, but very weird. Nobody died on January 6th. They said post-traumatic stress. Any of the Secret Service agents after the Trump assassination plot one or plot two keel over and die from post-traumatic stress? I don't think so. So why haven't they called it out? When they don't call it out, they enable it. When they enable it, they support it softly. And when they support it softly, you're on that side if you're not against that. Literally, our republic hangs in the balance. And this is what we're up against. It's unbelievable. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with a little bit of an update on a story we have been following a lot on this show. Do not go anywhere.
Rolling. Let's go.
Rolling. All right, guys. Again, we've had so much today. We're so sorry. We've had no time to do chats or anything like that just because, again, there's just so much information. We're going over our time. We can't run over an hour because of the other shows. So, guys, do me a favor right now. Support us, Rumble. Again, we'll talk more about this on our locals and stuff like that when we start that. But go do that. We appreciate it. And go support our guys, support our sponsors who continue to make this possible. Our friends over at Collect45.com. I have a feeling they're going to be making a lot of new coins very soon with a lot of new images. Guys, Collect45.com highlights and commemorates all of President Trump's most historic moments, okay, in his amazing 9-year run in political office. So, guys, go to Collect45.com right now and get these coins, the 45th series, the 47th series. And not only are they amazing and they show his moments and, you know, they try to erase history by censoring, but they're also made out of real gold, real silver, and real copper. And like I talked about in the last segment, real gold, real silver, real copper has great value. So you buy these as a gift for a Trump lover in your life, and you also maintain the value, and the value of the coins grow. So it's an amazing thing to get. It's really just an incredible gift. Again, collect45.com. The promo code is crispy for 20% off your order. And I have a feeling this week we're going to announce a giveaway, more on that, in a show this week. So we appreciate them. And we appreciate our last sponsor of the show, and they are our friends over at iTuggerPro. Guys, head over to iTuggerPro.com right now and use promo code crispy for 10% off your order. Guys, clearly it's never been more of an important time to shoot straight. And clearly, as we're on the precipice of World War III, you got to be able to protect your domain and your homeland. So this isn't a advertisement. This is a PSA. Go to iTuggerPro.com right now and get the laser firearm home training system where you will learn how to shoot straight. Again, good guys with guns, most important thing. It is a laser bullet that loads into the chamber of your weapon. You're able to dry fire into the target. It syncs up and it tracks your accuracy in real time. Either the iTarget, you see the traditional one on the screen, or the cubes. Two different ways to train, iTargetPro.com. Go get it today. If you don't have it, you need it. If you don't have it yet, you're literally a sitting sheep duck. Okay? So go get it. Promo code crispy. Frankie, how we doing?
We're doing. We're doing, Mike. I got another comment on this whole assassination attempt.
All right, let's roll back into it. And then I want it. All right, let's roll. Yeah.
On in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming to you live from New York on what has been a breaking news Monday, obviously, with another attempted assassination on President Trump. You know, I've been talking a lot. Frankie, just feel free here with the time we have left, and it's okay. You know, we can show the other stuff on another show. You have more thoughts on this. Just go ahead, take the time. What are your further thoughts?
Well, just, you know, they were mentioning it. I think it was even on Fox. And they were just like, you know, he doesn't have a public schedule. You know, the only way that they could have known about this was if there was, like, a leak out of, like, the core circle of Trump, this small group of Trump, and you know, they were kind of talking about like, oh, will they maybe be investigated too, because of the people that, you know, how did this data come out? And in my opinion, Mike, it's like, listen, he has a motorcade. Yeah. It's not a secret motorcade. It's very clear when Trump's going somewhere, he's got a motorcade. And going from Mar-a-Lago to Palm Beach, I mean, if you wanted to put in a plan to get this guy out of here, you know, all they have to say is, listen, he goes to this golf course, five times a month. All we have to do is wait to see the motorcade. And then once the motorcade goes, you know, they're going to the driving range first before they go out. I mean, they have like a couple hours to figure out what to do. So like, I don't, I'm not really buying the whole, oh, there was a leak from the, from their, his inner circle. It's like, they could have, if they wanted to, they could. They, okay, Trump's coming in. We got 2 hours till he tees off and you have to be at this, you know, it, it could be planned. I mean, I'm not taking that off.
But it does say, so Frankie makes a very good point, but I will say that it actually, when Frankie says that, so there might not be a leak from inside the Trump camp, but what that does say, Frankie, is that this guy, Ralph, is 100% an op, because what is he just doing, sitting there every single day waiting for Trump? Like, you know, he's literally in position near Palm Beach. Again, a guy who has no money, no job of any kind of sort. Was this Ukrainian mercenary guy who lives in Hawaii? They moved him from North Carolina to Hawaii. And then all of a sudden, he's just hanging out in Palm Beach every single day. Simultaneously dovetailing when we're kind of shifting our focus with the Ukraine and Russia strategy, and like we're kind of in a gear shift there. We're going for, oh, it's for defensive purposes only, propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Now we're like ready to go all out into war with them. So they kind of peel him off that assignment. Clearly he's an asset. So what do? They set him up at some location, in you know, Florida, in Palm Beach County, and they give him like the signal, okay, go, now. And they like train for him to like set it up and do it, like, and like get it all ready to go.
Something's up.
Then they say the thing, they say the obvious thing where they're like, oh, you know, well, he's not a sitting president. That's what the, that guy said in that press conference. He's not a sitting president, so he doesn't get the same detail. But it's like, I mean, any objective person, I think, would agree that nobody wants to kill Biden. Nobody gives a fuck about Biden anymore. I hate to say it, like, nobody cares. Like, he's a vegetable that's calling no shots. Nobody's interested in taking a shot at Biden. Nobody should. Like, there should be no violence in this country. But nobody's interested in that. Nobody cares. Literally nobody. He could have a post-presidential detail at this point. Anybody with common sense would know. The guy doesn't leave his basement. You could peel off those agents. How about this? We'll stop telling him to show up for work, and you can just leave him in the basement and peel off 90% of his agents. He doesn't have to travel anymore. He's not doing anything anyway. He's not reading a speech that ChatGPT couldn't read because it was written by some, you know, by some cohort of deep state writers. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. I guarantee you Kamala Harris is sitting president detail. Even though with the vice president, they usually don't have as much detail as the president. But guarantee you she has it. But they made the excuse for Trump. It's unbelievable. All right, guys, that's about all the time that we have in the show today. What a crazy episode. We're going to keep getting into this as the week comes. You guys know what we do in this program. We keep it America first. We keep it bold. We always keep it unafraid. And you better believe we're just getting started. We thank you for tuning in. We love you. We'll see you back live tomorrow.